Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs. Oh, sorry.
Yes. Talking into a microphone that isn't on, Andy. It is Andy Jacobs. And now we're going to, obviously, a big football focus. Not football focus, obviously, but a big football focus today. So we spoke to Henry Winter around England, and now we need to free up Harry Kane and any changes he'd make. Big Colin Hendry was back in the Scotland camp.
We expected Charlie Baker as well. That was a football chat.
Yes,
as well.
Away from the Euros. Poor old Charlie Baker, big Torquay fan. He was not bitter. He was bittersweet. And we also had a chat with Johnny Owen, our very own, and reflected on Wales' fine performances. Plus, some clips of the week pewter, which were rather good. And so here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And I left you on Friday. You were on your way to the game.
Yes.
What was your match night experience?
The match night experience was pretty good. The organisation around the virus was very good. You went in, you showed either your test or the fact you'd had two vaccinations. And then they gave you a little wristband, which kind of got you through all those sort of areas, and you'd been checked medically. Once in Wembley, it was all pretty straightforward. They asked you to keep your masks on. And there were some sort of mask police coming around the area that myself,
told you, didn't I?
The producer was seeing. But I think if you looked at the crowd, generally most people didn't have masks on. People weren't wading in to deal with that. It's a great atmosphere in the stadium. The Scotland fans and England fans making plenty of noise for 22,500. So it felt like a lot more. So it was great. It was it was an intriguing game. I think if you're watching on the box, you'd been bored with it, but you never quite knew it was going to go.
I didn't feel that.
No,
I enjoyed the game.
So I enjoyed it, but I've heard a lot of people say it was a dull 0-0, and I don't think it was.
I don't think it was. It was interesting. I mean, Yuri Geller reckons that he guided John Stones' header onto the post.
Not like him to say something like that, is it? Really
brilliant, isn't it?
He's pushing his luck there.
If that had gone in, it would have been a different game whatsoever. But in the end,
but you know, you could say that about the. Well, it was later in the game, but the Lyndon Dykes one as well off the line from James.
It's frustrating though. Lyndon Dykes reading what he had to say after the game that they were so much more up for it than. You know, that's unacceptable, that. And I don't know, we'll speak to Henry about this. I don't understand why England have gone, especially Gareth, gone so conservative. All this two-holding midfield players. Rice, when he plays for West Ham, he's like bombing forward. I mean, they did the stats. I mean, basically, five of Rice's passes went forward, only one, and Phillips, only one out of six went forward. So and you just got that sense they were just playing to each other, passing in front of each other. It's just disappointing to seeing them play like this with all this great talent to be so conservative.
Watching a team in white playing front of the opposition at Wembley felt like I was watching Tottenham there again.
It's not just that. I mean, I think England, about the last five or six games, have played like this. Mm. It's just, I don't really get it. I mean, I know it's tournament football, but...
It is. You know, Gareth actually admitted it. He said there comes a point in the game where you think, you know, we might not win it, but it's just important that we don't lose it. And you kind of sense that on the pitch. And you sensed it in the substitution.
In 2018, one of the things about England is that they were refreshing the way they played. Mm. You know, they played with a lot of verve. And I thought it's all been missing that anyway. It's been a good tournament. I've been enjoying the Germany-Portugal game was... It was great. And I got quite excited because, you know, my acting is so poor.
Oh, yeah.
So I've decided to do something about it. I've enrolled in the Pepe School of Drama.
Oh, yeah.
Home of Portugal's finest thespians.
He's very good.
He's quite grizzled now. He's good for a character role.
Yeah, he won't get the heartthrob roles anymore. anymore.
Honestly, he's either the worst I've ever seen. I mean, he just, every tackle, he just throws himself to the floor and, yeah. And then he goes down.
Well, he's getting on a bit. Maybe he had a fall. Maybe that's how Pepe's had a fall. I think the younger players say that. I wonder if they do.
Peter Wharton was on great form during the weekend.
Oh, yeah, Peter Wharton. There is definitely a new TV series, isn't it? Peter Wharton's fantastic line that he came out with during the game. Only time will tell.
No.
But surely, is that offside? Only time will tell. I think, well, isn't that your job to tell us?
Did he get a flick rather than yeah. Jota? A time will tell. And you think,
that's right.
By the time he said that, they've already moved on. Time did tell.
Yeah.
He didn't. It's fantastic.
Let's bring Peter Wharton in here. Was that a penalty, Peter? Well, only time will tell. It's money for jam, isn't it, really?
And you must see my man, Bernardeschi. What a great accountant he is.
Bernardeschi, he's very good. All your beer's always cold with Bernardeschi. You never have any problems.
The ref in the Wales game, they did this before he sent Ampadu off, and apparently there have only been two red cards and he's responsible. But he's a real Mr. Fussy. So I thought we need one of Dan's Mr. Men bits if he gets the final, this fella.
Yes, I'm sensing he won't get the final.
I'm sensing he won't. No. And I was reading yesterday about Meghan Markle and the team that surrounds her. Mm. And one of her,
it's not England, is it?
No, not really. Okay. But it's somebody we all know. A former talent agent is Nick Collins. So I don't know if it's that
Sky?
One. I don't know. I wonder if she's as good as he is at England press conferences.
It'd be great to film him outside their Hollywood home on a ladder. He falls off. Yes.
I don't think it's
can't
the same.
Be, it's can't
not,
be the
not
same.
The same. I'll tell you one thing, though. You know that England were negative when even Jose Mourinho and his son Colin on Saturday said, we didn't take enough risk.
Blimey, hello? Must have been McFly.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Ridiculous, but there, what are you going to do?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, after Friday's game at Wembley against Scotland, I think most England fans would like to see England playing on the front foot a little bit more, moving the ball quicker, maybe the manager being a little bit more dynamic in his choice of substitutions. But will we see that? And how should we line up? Or should we make any changes? Henry Winter joins us now, the Times chief football writer. Henry, good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. Hi, Andy.
Your piece today says England have to change the tempo, not the team. I mean, that was the real standout watching the game, being there the other night like you. It was just that ponderous nature of the way England were playing.
And it was a slight surprise because Southgate picked more attacking fullbacks with Reece James, who, obviously, Andy knows, you know, what an amazing season he's had, and Luke Shaw as well, you know, for Manchester United on the other side. And that they almost sort of froze, particularly Reece James. And we've seen him go forward so often. Obviously, he was up against Robertson, who's a fantastic player, and Tierney was bombing forward a little bit. But we've just seen Reece James just play so well this season and deliver the balls. And again, that sort of plays into the Harry Kane debate as well in terms of the service. But, you know, we talked to the England players all week. We spoke to Gareth Southgate on the eve of the tournament. I mean, those of us who went to England-Scotland games as kids at Hampden, who've covered England-Scotland throughout, I mean, everyone was focusing on Gazza and Euro 96, and they thought that Phil Foden would just come in and he would flick the ball over Grant Hanley's head and then David Marshall a la Gazza. These games are wars of attrition. England-Scotland games. I mean, you know, we're a generation where we remember the home international championships at the end of the season. And you had the Scots absolutely fired up for it, as they were. And I don't think England were enough. And I think that is down to the individual responsibility of the players and clearly Southgate as well.
Yeah, you made that point in your piece today, you know, that Scotland were playing for their lives in this tournament. Kane said this, and you feel that this should be England's mindset as well. And it never is it, in tournaments? I mean, maybe if we play France or somebody, we might act the underdog. But generally, we don't do what Scotland and Wales do when we're playing for our country or the players don't.
You look at the Scottish players and look, also, I mean, let's hope that Billy Gilmore makes a speedy recovery. And what a fantastic player. I mean, obviously, Andy, from your perspective. Actually, Andy, do you want him to go on loan or do you want him to stay?
Yeah, somebody asked me this, and I think he should go on loan for a year. I do feel this. I do think that it won't do him any good playing 10 games for Chelsea next season. And Jorginho won't last forever, and he is the natural successor to him, and I really like him in that. It's not obviously down to me, but if it was down to me, I'd say go out on loan, but go somewhere where you're going to play, either in Germany, play for a top team, or, you know, a middle-ranking team in the Premier League where you actually play every week. If you're not going to play every week, then you might as well stay at Chelsea.
Well, I mean, young English players certainly know the way to Holland and Germany. The only thing is, you look at Phil Foden's development. I'm not comparing them as players. Different players, different characters. I understand all that. But in terms of Phil Foden, what he's learnt under Pep Guardiola, and Guardiola was adamant about this when we were sort of quizzing him 2-3 years ago. Are you going to send Foden out on loan? He said, no, he can develop by training initially alongside David Villa and Kevin De Bruyne and things like that. So, look, the thing is, you've got an absolute jewel of a player. So, you know, absolute speedy recovery to him.
Definitely.
Henry, in the Sunday Times yesterday, Wayne Rooney in his column was saying he'd like to see Dominic Calvert-Lewin up front with Harry Kane. He said Harry's been isolated in both games, especially against Scotland, where he played against three centre-halves, which is always difficult. Calvert-Lewin could make a difference. He can run channels, occupy the centre-backs, win headers, bring the crossing ability of someone like James into play. He could do for England what Olivier Giroud does for France, offering a different option, and Kane could play more in the number 10 role he started to occupy for Spurs. What do you make of that?
I mean, look, you see a lot of Harry Kane at Spurs, and I know he can play the 10 fantastically, so that under Jose Mourinho. I still prefer him as a 9. I still think I want to see him more in the box. And I just think it's a great... I mean, Calvert-Lewin is a fantastic player, and I'm sure they would dovetail well together. But I want to see Kane more as the sort of that Shearer and maybe a sort of another Sheringham type sort of brought in to assist him. But just to get more width. I mean, it's the width is absolutely key, and England were poor on that. You've obviously got, you know, we play a lot with inverted wingers. Foden was obviously going to come inside. Sterling probably did his best work, as we saw with the goal against Croatia, through the middle. But then, the priorities then for the fullbacks to absolutely sort of push on. I think if you can do that more, if you can see, I mean, you were mentioning the statistics earlier about Declan Rice and Calvin Phillips, 20% and 16% respectively of their passes were forward. There has to be more than that. And there were a couple, I mean, it's a point that Shearer was making at the weekend. You know, Declan Rice had an opportunity a couple of times just to ping a quick 30-yard ball through to the feet of Kane, but they went wide. They played over. I think England slightly overcomplicated. I mean, look, possession is great, but sometimes get the ball forward quicker towards Harry Kane. I mean, look, he may well spring a surprise and bring a Calvert-Lewin in. I think if anything, the changes will come in more in defence for this game against the Czechs.
I mean, I sent you a text in the middle of the game. How often do England spurn the forward ball to retain possession? And that's the thing you're talking about there. What about the substitutions? People were very critical that he took Foden off. I couldn't see it myself either. I thought he was having a decent game.
He's too slow. I mean, I can remember Jose Mourinho. I'm sure you'll talk to him about this. I mean, there was one game at St James's Park with Chelsea early on. Andy, you probably remember it. But he took three players off at half-time. I think Chelsea actually finished up with 9 players on the pitch. But I like that decisive action. I think Southgate, I know he's often accused of being too cautious, but I think he's particularly cautious, not so much necessarily in his team selections, because you couldn't actually dispute against Scotland with 2 attacking fullbacks and a front four like that, with Phillips also as your supposed holding midfielder, but actually playing more as an 8 and pushing on. But actually it's his changes during the games. We saw it very expensively in the semi-final against Croatia when he reacted. We didn't react at all, really. And also I think against Scotland, Scotland. You know, he's got an opportunity to make five substitutions. Don't always make like for like. Make other changes as well. So I think there's a sort of focus on Southgate there.
Finally, Henry, looking at your team in the Times today, effectively the same personnel apart from Maguire for Mings. That's the only change you would make.
I wouldn't be surprised if Trippier comes back in as well. I mean, I feel a bit for Mings because I think he's actually done really well. And England haven't conceded a goal for 6.5 hours. And he's been part of that in terms of the friendlies and in terms of the two group matches. I think Maguire, if Southgate feels he's fit, and Southgate's the only one who'll know, if he feels that Maguire is fit, he'll come in there. He'll maybe bring the ball out a little bit more. He'll encourage Stones to sort of push on as well. He'll increase the urgency, which that team definitely needs, as we saw against Scotland. The intensity simply wasn't good enough.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, apart from all the European Championship football, there was a huge domestic dust-up yesterday. The National League playoff between Hartlepool and Torquay. And it was a dramatic, eventful game.
Amazing, actually, by the sound of it.
Yeah. Now, if you were listening to the warm-up on Saturday, you would have heard Charlie Baker, Max's co-presenter, talking about it. Our producer, John Cadogan, is a big Torquay fan. He was at the game with Charlie yesterday. They do the National Obsession podcast. And they were hoping to return after 7 long years back to the
podcast,
league.
So that's the way I look at it. I said every cloud, I said to John.
Well, that's right. At least they've still got a National League podcast. But I doubt if they're feeling good about that at the moment. Well, you heard from Jeff Stelling, the victor. Let's hear from the vanquished, Charlie Baker. Good afternoon, Charlie.
I'd like to report a robbery.
Yeah. No, it was controversial because you felt with VAR at that level, a couple of goals that you had chalked off may have been allowed.
It's difficult to talk about it without sounding massively bitter.
Well, feel free. You had Jeff quite triumphant earlier on, so you can sound as bitter as you like.
Look, Jeff deserves it. Hartlepool deserve it. They played very well. They had a really good second half of the season, and Dave Challoner did a really good job. They had some really good players, and yesterday they had loads of energy, played some really good football. I mean, we had so many chances, and we put the ball in the net 3 times, 2 of which were ruled out, and they weren't. I don't know why they were disallowed. Nobody can tell me why they were disallowed. So, look. You know, the keeper, for me, he comes for both, misses both. Our big defender, who's been playing on the left wing, gets up and heads him in. But look, it's hard to talk about it without sounding really, really bitter. But we did have the amazing, amazing moment.
Yes.
Our goalkeeper, Lucas Covellan, he's Brazilian and has been with us for a couple of years, was with us in the National League South. We've had a sort of 2 goalkeeper structure going on for a couple of years. His form since he came back from injury has been unreal. He's been absolutely brilliant. I don't know what he's been doing, but he's been absolutely brilliant. He's kept us in games, as good as a new signing, as good as signing, you know, a really great striker. Yesterday, he was phenomenal. And he comes up in the 96th minute when we think the game's done. And we're like, no, get back. No, absolutely not. Nobody, stop it. Don't be stupid. Get back.
It wasn't a set play, was it? It was open play. I've never seen that before.
Well, he'd come up for a corner and then didn't go back, stayed in the box. Ball gets pumped back into the box. He rises above everybody, nods it in. The place goes absolutely wild. And he then proceeds to save 2 penalties in the penalty shootout. An amazing, amazing performance from him,
it's still not enough.
All to no avail.
That's right. No avail.
All
for nothing. Now, Charlie,
I mean, you've watched a lot of football, and I think if you go to football for long enough, I think you see everything, don't you? And you experience everything, and you have to just accept it and take it on the chin. Yeah. But it's pretty deflating, I will say. I'm not my usual enthusiastic self.
I can hear that. You're not gigging tonight. Now, you do, with our producer, John, bring us the National Obsession podcast. Not a talkie podcast.
Yes,
really
not
National League podcast, and still. So, but you were recording a little bit for the podcast at the moment. that Coverland scored, that incredible goal in the 9 seconds, the goalkeeper, a man who's played against Alisson, Alisson, which is quite amazing.
So
let's hear, as you were recording, and maybe not completely focusing on the pitch at that point, thinking the game was done, this is what it sounded like.
Ball's in, Kovalev! No!
No! No! No! Sounds a bit Wookiee, doesn't it? Well, just, of course,
such a great moment.
Understandable really. That you should be recording stuff at that point, but
yeah. Well, I'm glad you told me it was John Cadogan because I thought I'd been doing a podcast with Pat Nevin.
Well, yeah, they've all been saying it everywhere we went.
He just keeps saying I can't Big
Nev,
see it.
John Collins, is that Pat Nevin's son? Everywhere we went last week, all around the country.
Look, if there's anything I can take from yesterday, I was there with my brother and my son and my nephew. Hmm. And to experience that with them and that moment with them will stay longer in my mind than losing a penalty shootout or not going up or, you know. And the way that Gary has got the team playing, Gary and Aaron Downs this season have got the team playing. They're such a good bunch of lads. They're all really young, except Danny Wright, who's about 58. he's been absolutely awesome for us. But they're such a good bunch of positive, nice young men who all speak well as well, and just a really lovely footballers. And we've had a brilliant season. I mean, it's really got me through this pandemic. It really has. So I can only thank the club and thank Gary and thank everyone. You know, it's just so disappointing. So disappointing. Yeah. I can't fake it.
No, I can tell.
No, especially when the whole season comes down to a penalty shootout.
And look, people are questioning whether two should go up automatically instead of one and a playoff. But our producer, John, seems to be taken out on Boreham Wood. Another year in the National League says to him, I've got to go back to Boreham Wood again. Right. Seems to be everything that's wrong with the world.
He thinks he might bump into Moose. I don't blame
that's
him.
Probably what it is. It's Moose's club, isn't it? Yeah.
He doesn't have to go. And also, in the National League next year, so many big English league teams, as the Sutton United fans used to call it, the BELTs. You've got Grimsby, you've got Wrexham, Chesterfield, Halifax,
Wrexham
Torquay.
With all that money, with the Hollywood money.
You know, the Hollywood money. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing beating them, isn't it? It's going to be absolutely amazing beating them. You know, so many, there's about 12 big old English league teams there.
It's the new League Two, isn't it?
Yeah, it's marvellous.
In many ways, it's better than League Two. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So there you are, Hartlepool fans. Anyway, cheers, Charlie. You're back on Saturday with Max.
Yeah, back Saturday. Yeah, I will have cheered up by then.
Yeah,
there we are. So you should certainly have a listen to the National Obsession podcast this week from wherever you get your podcasts with all the fallout. Two broken men you'll be hearing there. But well done at Hartlepool. I think if you concede in the 96th minute from a goalkeeper's header, then pick yourself up, get through extra time, and then win the pens because you've got to be on the floor.
Yeah, no,
it took some doing. So well done to Jeff. I say he was on breakfast this morning. Congratulations to them. 4 years out, they are back in the league. It is producer not agreeing with me there.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Yes, it's time to get the latest from the Home Nations Camps in association with Intuit QuickBooks. And in a very entertaining game last night in Rome, Wales couldn't get the win, but they still qualified in second place in Group A. Fantastic achievement for them at a time when a lot of people thought
they
might.
It was exciting the way they were hanging on with 10 men. It was admirable.
And had chances themselves, one very notable one we're bound to touch on now with Wales fan. TalkSport presenter, man, we caught up with in Cardiff last week. Johnny Owen. Hi, Johnny.
Hi, lads. How are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, we're good. We're good. Andy had not seen that.
I'm just in the services. I had to pull over. I'm about 6 hours into a journey from Wales to England because of traffic, but I don't care.
You're floating home.
I'm floating back. Yeah. I mean, you guys were there and I really enjoyed it when you came down to Cardiff. And afterwards, me and Andy were sitting talking and he was just going, there's just a good vibe down there. And I just, it's hard to explain, isn't it? Mm. It just feels good, Wales being in a tournament. And I don't know what it is that we just seem to enjoy getting to major finals. It's a funny old thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dean Saunders this morning, it's the second time he said this on TalkSport, but it is true. He just goes through the whole team and says, he doesn't get a game for Spurs. He's not playing for them. He's only playing for Cardiff. Yeah. You go through the whole thing, you think...
Neither goalkeeper gets a game.
I know. Yeah, and you think, blimey, talk about the sum of your parts and all that. It's amazing, isn't it?
It is an extraordinary thing. I was in Merthyr Town Football Club this week doing it, and it was a fantastic atmosphere. I mean, they've had 1,000 people through the club watching games. Every game is sold out. It's not just that. They seem to have embraced the tournament in Wales in a wonderful way. And somebody pointed out when Joe Morel was having this sensational game against Turkey, he said, I don't know who's in the Luton team or the Luton midfield. If he's you know, not getting a game at Luton, it must be amazing. It must be biscuits and Iniesta. Do you know what I mean? But it is an extraordinary thing that these players sort of come. I mean, Kiefer Moore is a massive player for Wales. He came on yesterday and he won the ball further up the pitch. He won us some free kicks. He got us a bit of breathing space. And Gareth Bale actually went across to him. I could see it and said to him, don't get booked. Because I think Kiefer Moore is a really important part of the Welsh team. And Ali McCoist was brilliant on the breakfast the other morning. And he was talking about how that front four seemed to blend together so well. They've got a bit of everything, basically. They've got a typical number nine. You've got pace with Dan James. You've got players with technical ability like Aaron Ramsey. And you've got a game changer with Gareth Bale. So it's quite a potent front four, really, when you think about it. And I think that's what happens. That those boys play above themselves. They just seem to grow in stature in the red shirt. And we love them as fans. And there's no pressure on them. We just love them. We love what they've achieved already. Mm.
Yeah, Kiefer Moore was on a yellow, and as was Ben Davis and Chris Mappin, so they were worried about them picking up cards and missing the next stage. But I did, Rob Page was saying, they said to, when they put Kiefer Moore on, said, try and jump without raising your arms. And they said, they thought it was hilarious. They were watching on the bench. It was like he was pogoing at a Sex Pistols gig.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, how do you elevate yourself? And because he's a big lad, you can almost tell in the first 5 minutes what the referee is going to do with him during a game. If he gets the free kick, you think, oh, we're going to be all right. But sometimes some referees start penalising him. And yesterday was one of those games with the ref as well. I was really interested in what you were talking about earlier on when you had the referee on. He was very fussy with Wales. And there was a few bookings against us where you just feel sometimes as the smaller nation that you get those extra bookings that the Italians wouldn't get, you know, where their players dropped a knee onto Dan James's back at one point. Little clever things that they don't get that we get. Do you know what I mean? But that's football. You know, we've got to cope with that. That's what being a smaller nation is.
I was reading your column yesterday, and you talked about celebrating against the Swiss, and it's amazing that you all celebrated together, and somebody was filming it, and somebody dubbed you in. This COVID crisis is great for people who like telling off other people. It's incredible, isn't it?
I had to apologise. I was up the club, and the local council came, and the club, the guy who runs the club, Wayne, who's lovely, I just said, look, it was my fault. I said, Wales scored this goal in a match where we were clinging on. I was with my brother, you know, I was with my best friends in my hometown football club, and I'm sorry, I just jumped up and I hugged my brother. I'm really sorry, it won't happen again. And they went, okay, as long as it doesn't happen again. I know, it's just one of those things, I suppose, you know. But, you know, the atmosphere's been great down there. We're delighted to get through. It'll be really interesting to see who we get next, and you know, we take each game as it comes, but who knows where Wales will end up. It just seems that, you know, at certain games we seem to produce the performance, and as you said, Rob Page done such a good job, and he's made the right substitutions at the right time, and he's been positive. I mean, yesterday, you know, we were clinging on in Italy 1-0 with 10 men, and he was substituting like for like, and I was thinking, fair play to you, you know, he's we've just had a go.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
So we turn to Scotland. We've had some bad news today about Billy Gilmore failing a COVID test, and he will have to isolate now for 10 days, which is a real blow for them because he had such a cracking game on Friday. Joining us now, a man we caught up with in Glasgow, and indeed, we saw him again, didn't we?
Saw
him on the train from Manchester coming to London here in the game. Colin Hendry joins us. Hi, Colin.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good, well, thanks, thank you. Yes, I mean, you had sort of duties around the match, but we know your boys went to the game. Did they have a good experience?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, gentlemen, we had an absolute ball. We had a great time. You know, I thought after the first game on the Monday, we did have to definitely get something from the game, which we did. We did ourselves extremely proudly. I've even tweeted it that we got a 0-0 win against England, and of course you're going to get a few punters back having a little dig at me. But no, it's mad that from when I seen you guys on the Monday until now, the momentum was with us going into the first game. It then swung completely against us by getting beat. We then, of course, did okay. And, you know, I'll be not pessimistic, but optimistic. We did okay Friday night. We did okay. It gives us a chance to go into the game tomorrow. And now there's a little bit more momentum going with us, except I've got to say it's really, really bad news to have heard about Billy Gilmore and how he's not going to be allowed to play.
Yeah, I mean, he did have a good game. He struggled a little bit in the start of the match, but by the time he came off, everyone basically said he was man of the match. And I thought Scotland were the better team. I mean, you know, obviously if Stones' header had gone in, it might have been a different story. But over the whole 90 minutes, you have to say Scotland really deserved, you know, they had the better of the draw. Yeah.
Well, I think there's a comparison always made between the Scottish player and the English player, and I think, to be fair to the Scottish team, we've got four or five players playing in the Premiership. And I can pick any of the four, but I'll pick John McGinn, for example. Now, he's carried Villa for a bit on his own, from a Scottish point of view, throughout this past season. I know Jack Grealish is the main man. He's regarded as is the next best thing for England. But, I mean, England have got several. We've only got, only got about three or four, maybe five. But in saying that, we're a team. And this is where I've been trying to get people to understand that, yeah, it's a long time since we've done a competition. And what we gave on Friday night is acceptable, and it's good for us to a platform for us to move on to the next game, which we need to win in the game tomorrow against Croatia.
Yeah. Now, just towards the end of the game, Stephen O'Donnell, we know, was having a bit of fun with Jack Grealish, telling him how good looking he was and how much he liked his calves. I don't know if that's an approach you ever took. We'll come on to that. But in the end, he went chasing him, and you know, Jack was sort of lollipops and step overs, and he went chasing him, and he gave him a whack, and he got a booking. And I just thought at the moment, man, that's a cheap booking, because you don't want to. That's a really cheap yellow card for an important player, a guy that had a really good game and could have scored.
Yeah, he played really well.
It just seemed a bit out of character, really.
Well, you'd have to ask, you know, Donald that one. But to be fair, I mean, listen, we were very proud of our performance, and you know, if we blotted a copybook two or three times, well, that might have been one of them. But I wouldn't blame Stephen O'Donnell, because he came in for quite a bit of criticism after the first game, and that he wasn't appropriately played, and he shouldn't have been appropriately played against the Czech Republic. But then he steps into Friday night and gives a performance out like that. So, I mean, hey, he's not in the old club. If he wants to go and kick the opposition, what's wrong with that, you guys?
I hope it doesn't. You know, if Scotland can get beyond, they get through this.
They'd regret it.
He'll miss the round of 16 game when he has to take a book, and he has to take one for the team when it matters, which can happen when you're playing defence. But have you ever charmed an attacker, Colin? Have you ever played against a player and said, "Oh, yeah, I like your legs. Aren't you good looking?" I doubt it.
Yeah, I played for Blackburn against Manchester United. We were getting beat 2-0, and I got taken out of my comfort zone, out the box, 18-yard box at Ewood Park. And Andy Cole's got the ball, and I thought, oh, come on, oh, Andy, you're going up here, mate. You're going up. And that's what I did. And I'd premeditatedly thought, you know, he's coming out, I'm taking him out. And as I turned round, I think it was Roger Milford. I can remember Roger. Roger's got the yellow card stuck right in my face. It was a Luigi Colina moment for Roger Milford, because it was right there with the eyes.
Brilliant. I mean, everyone expected Scotland to play the way they played, to perform the way they played, to play with the spirit that they played with.
Like we said, play the occasion that we were talking about last week.
And they did all that. But I was saying to our friend Ali Ross, you know, who's a big Tartan Army supporter, you know, you've now got to show that you can do this against a team that aren't England. Do you know what I mean? I always get frustrated with, you know, you see teams play Chelsea and they put everything into it, and then the next game they lose 4-0 because they put everything into it. And you think, why don't you play like that every week? So I do feel a bit like that about Scotland.
I mean, to be fair, defensively, in our defence, in Scotland's defence, what we've always struggled really with is goal scoring.
Yeah.
And we've not scored a goal yet. And listen, it is to a lot of the English fans out there, and they said, and they tweeted back, said, oh, it's your cup final, etc., blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah, but the expectancy of the England team from the England fans are that England are far superior, and they were going to wipe the floor 3-4-0 with us. You know, you'd some big hitters out there giving it. Rio Ferdinand. Rio was giving it 3 or 4, wasn't he? Mm. So, you know, I mean, that's one example. So I missed an opportunity, actually, to speak with him the other day on Radio Live Radio. I really would have loved that one, on the condition of what happened Friday night. But, no, our problem's always been scoring goals. And, listen, what we'll do from Friday night, we'll take that performance, we'll try and bottle it the best we can, and bring it back out tomorrow night against the Croats. You know, and we've got a decent history against Croatia. I mean, I played myself out there. We should have beat them on the night, but drew 0-0 in a qualifier. And you know, we're not too bad, but we know the riches and the type of players they've got. Aging is the say, but hey, if we get a win tomorrow, that's the most important thing for us to win the game tomorrow evening.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. The Talk Sport Clips of the Week.
Well, every Monday we play you some Clips of the Week pewter. We call them that because they're certainly not gold. But no. They are just a sort of sample. One moment in time, as Whitney once said, from December 2007. They just picked it.
She loved Clips of the Week.
She did. Picked at random. And these are just how they went out in December 2007. So we can't promise gold. We can promise maybe a bit of pewter. So we start, and we'll say we haven't heard these since, so it's all new to us as well. We start with a caller discussing the form of the former England forward and now TalkSport's very own Darren Bent.
You know, he's a lot better than Darren Bent. Now, Bent is, don't get me wrong, I like Bent. He's probably a lot better footballer than I am.
Well, yeah, he probably is, mate. He plays for England.
He's a professional.
Yeah. It's good to have that self-awareness as a caller, isn't it, really? Yeah.
It's to Keith Arthur on Fisherman's Blues now, talking Sea Bream with his guest and having a When Harry Met Sally moment.
I find it incomprehensible, because I've never seen one, that a bream of £20...
Oh, it must be amazing. I mean,
Blimey, yeah. I'll have what he's having.
It's a bit of an exaggeration.
Yeah, it was a bit. I think it proves we made quite a lot out of that, didn't we? It was obviously this was obviously a very quiet week.
I wouldn't have put that one in.
So we've raised the bar since, and we have nominally. Here's Alan Brazil singing the praises of either the Everton chairman or a former Premier League striker, or both.
I think he's going to be a top player, this Ken Wright Jones. Really? I really do. Yeah. He can play. Don't worry about that.
Ken Wright Jones. Let's join. Bill Ken Wright Jones joins us now. Yes. So,
is it me?
It is you.
It's to Mike Perry now with a quiz question.
Who played a one-off gig this week at the BBC Electric Proms?
That's Paul Hawksby.
What? I thought I would have remembered that. Hey, isn't it? One-off gig at the Electric Proms. Don't you remember? I brought the house down.
Ridiculous.
Here's...
you did have that... What's that thing, the stylophone, was it? Was that thing you could play?
Yes, I did. I can play the stylophone. Most people can. Anyway. Play this. Oh, yeah, I'm known for my stylophone playing. Okay. I think we'll draw a veil over that. Anyway, here's a caller who had, for reasons we won't go into, who had inside information on who the new Spurs manager was going to be.
I got a text from a former Spurs player about 6 o'clock last night to say that Martin Jol had been sacked and Gus Poyet and Wendy Ramos was coming in.
She would have done a great job, Wendy. I think nothing's changed, is it? 2007, they're still talking about Tottenham manager Wendy Ramos.
It's not often we make it onto Clips of the Week, but here I am with a question for Pelé.
And of course, Brazil have done so much for the World Cup. It's only right that they should get the chance to host it.
Excuse me?
Pelé, not sure.
Come on, Pelé. That's a perfectly normal question, mate. And I did sound a bit husky. Maybe that's what put him off.
Excuse me?
back to Mr. Parry's quiz now. And here's one for Ali Ross's unexpected morons in the bagging area.
How many leaves on a four-leaf clover?
Three.
For goodness sake. That's ridiculous.
Dear me.
It's Alan Brazil again. Coming back from the break in bizarre fashion.
Alan Brazil Sports Breakfast Radio to set you up for the day on TalkSport.
Now, good morning, 18 minutes past 9 o'clock. Get your hands off me, you damn stinking ape.
Well, Mike Perry, what was going on there in the studio? That was very strange. Where did that come from? We'll never know.
It's one of those.
Oh, it was from Planet of the Apes. But I just wonder why he'd said it. Why he'd said it in the studio. Maybe they were going to get one of the actors on. Yeah. I don't know. Well, maybe we'll never know. Anyway, more quiz questions now, this time with Ronnie Irani.
All you had to do was answer this question. In what year was Joe Kawasaki crowned WBL Super Middleweight World Champion? Was it A, 1995, or B, 2003? And the answer we were looking for was A, 1997.
Oh, what? which was neither A nor B. Fantastic. So, what's next, Andy?
Here's Mike Perry rewriting the Euro 96 classic, Three Lions.
Can the FA find a singer who'll get onto the centre spot an hour before the game on Wednesday night and lead us in a chorus of Three Lions in My Shirt?
Three Lions in My Shirt. You'd know about it, wouldn't you?
You would, really.
They'd rip you apart. But maybe we should have put that in the documentary. It's a shame we didn't know about that before. And finally, staying with music, here's Alan Brazil.
Yeah, all thanks to Israel. That's Hava Nagila by Lauren Rose, a Jewish folk song, a tribute to Israel beating Russia, which makes it all possible tonight for England. You expect to hear that song, by the way, over the next few weeks as well as we build up to Christmas.
Probably not.
Not really.
Probably not Christmas, Al. Would be my guess.
Possibly, but there we go.
So there we are. Clips of the Week Pewter from 2007. There's some quite good ones in there.
Yeah, very good.
So anyway. Yes, we'll do that again next week. So, Andy, what have you noticed over the last 48 hours?
I tell you what I have noticed. This is a trend was starting to come in towards the end of last season. It's really noticeable in this tournament. With so much high pressing, football's going back to route one. Everyone's going long, and you kind of have to. And what you need, of course, is a striker with a lot. You need people who can run in behind. But, they're putting it down the sides. They're putting it,
Look at the France goal the other day. Did you see that?
Charles Hughes will be delighted.
Yeah. Even Hugo Lloris turned into Edison. A lovely assist down the middle.
It is a way, isn't it? If a team insists on pressing you, it's the way to counter it. And it seems to be happening more and more. So,
a bit of a nightmare from an assistant producer at the BBC. I don't know if you saw this story. They were looking to find an ex-England player to do some work on a CBBC show with two of their presenters. And they put a call in to Gordon Banks, former agent.
Oh, dear.
Not great.
Not great.
Somebody should have checked.
Yeah, they should. Now, where was I? What was I going to talk about? Oh, the Beckhams. Have you seen the planning news? Planning news concerning the Beckhams. They're building a bat hotel, apparently.
Yes, I saw this. Yes. It's a bat hotel.
It's a hotel sounds a bit of an exaggeration, is it? For five star sort of hotel?
Yeah, it's good. It's the house itself. When I read this, because the headline says Beckhams build bat hotel, and I kind of sped through it, and it says, the house will have a gym, yoga space, and a wine cellar. I thought, what for bats?
It's very nice, isn't it?
Yeah. But apparently, no, they're going to be working, they're going to minimise light spillage so the bats move in. So they're welcoming the bats into Beckham Towers.
I'm sure bats have had a bit of a bad rap in the past year.
Maybe they want to redress the balance for bats, give them a slightly better.
But please, can we stop newspapers? Can we stop doing how something might look? So, from this hangout, how Bex might look, and he's basically they've put him upside down.
Oh, okay, as a bat. Yeah, of course, that would make sense.
And Romeo Beckham have you seen this? He said he took his Maserati Levante with prices starting at 58 grand for a spin.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I mean, even if he's earned the money himself, I'm not sure an 18-year-old should be driving a Maserati Levante. Not my idea.
Imagine the insurance is fairly hefty.
A, the insurance, and B, also, if you get a car like that when you're 18, what have you got to... Where's your incentive in life?
It's tough love with you, Andy, is it?
My parents were pretty well off when I was growing up, but they certainly wouldn't have let me drive a car like that.
Didn't you have an E-Type Jag?
No, I did not. I had a little old Mini, and that was it.
Your brother did, though, didn't you? Nicked it once, didn't you?
Yeah, no.
You nicked your brother's E-Type.
Oh, no, yeah, that was good.
He's not changed.
Well, the thing was, it has a sporting connotation because there was a thing to try and find the late, and Tony Gregg did this, to try and find some fast bowling talent.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was the time when the West Indies were really, you know, had four great fast bowlers on the pitch and probably four in the pavilion that could have played, and we didn't seem to have any. So he started this idea to find a fast bowler. And my friend Dave was a good bowler, so and it was at Hove. So he went down there. I wrote for him, got him in the trial and everything. So I said, well, my brother was away. I thought, oh, I might as well borrow his car.
I'll have the jag. So you nicked the jag.
Yeah, drove down to Brighton. Marvellous.
He didn't prang here, I think.
No,
right,
I didn't
was
actually.
It?
No,
it was, did he find out your brother?
No, he didn't. He would have been very cross.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. I'm back with Max tomorrow. Andy's back on Friday. Glenn Hoddle will be among our guests, and a man who went on an epic quest. A Scotland fan around the Euros. Fairly mad, but we'll tell you more tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.